Hello and welcome to our 95th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 17.5, early testing on WordPress 6.5 and block themes and everything in between. I'm your host, Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and a full-time core contributor for the WordPress open source project, sponsored by Automatics for the Future program. And I'm so thrilled we were finally able to make it happen. Carolina Niemerg is on the show today. Carolina is a core contributor sponsored by Yoast and has been an evangelist, educator, and blogger about blog themes when we all knew that it was coming but had no clue what it will be. And when we still called it full-site editing. Many of you might have visited her site, fullsiteediting.com, where she teaches developers and site builders how to use the blog themes. Carolina also joined us on the Gutenberg Live Q&As multiple times to talk about that. And I'm so happy to have you finally also on the podcast. Welcome, Carolina. And how are you today?
Thank you. I am very well. Thank you. So we are recording this on a Friday in January. And I've been back at work maybe only 2 weeks.
Okay.
I had December off, which was very, very nice. I used WordPress, but I did not code anything for almost 5 weeks. So it was a really nice break.
Oh, yeah, I imagine that. Yeah, yeah. I got about 2.5 weeks off over the holidays, but I'm back, yeah, also 2 weeks. So it's all a new year, and I hope you got into the new year well. So there have been early discussions, you and I, and with others that were working on it, early discussions about the block themes in 2020, if not 2019. I'm a little bit unsure. And I really want to thank you for being such a great advocate and educator for block themes. I think it has changed WordPress quite a bit. We're not there yet entirely. But how do you feel about block themes now that you have worked with them over 4 years?
Well, it doesn't feel like 4 years. It feels like it's been much shorter. I agree, it's not there yet. While I love working with the site editor and creating visual layouts that I can tweak as a coder, I do love that. But I still wish that we would have come further.
Yeah, so what do you think is missing? So do you have kind of examples what you find missing from, yeah, when you go from a classic theme building and kind of want to recreate the magic also in block themes?
Yes, yeah, so one of the big parts is that when we use PHP to build our themes, we use a lot of conditions, if else, to display different things depending on what's happening, what users doing, what they're viewing. We can't really do that with blocks, not mm-hmm. at least not with the current core blocks that we have.
Yeah.
What is also missing is a way to manage and display the custom fields. And
okay.
Of course, the Gutenberg developers are very aware about the need for custom fields and management. And it has been, of course, ongoing discussions for several months. And it will happen in some form. Right now, it has had to step back a little bit because a lot of the Gutenberg developers need to focus on the new data views, which is part of the, well, it's going to be a part of the admin redesign.
So, yeah, custom fields, but I have seen so early. So there was this whole hangout last week with early views on what's in the roadmap of 6.5. And also, even if it wasn't on the roadmap to go to 6.5, but it's actively worked on. And one of them was to have in the block toolbar a button that you can connect something in the content of the block with a custom field. I don't know how that all surfaces, but that is really interesting approach because you don't have to go out and kind of go into a different interface. You can all do it there. But apart from, yeah, the conditions are pretty big. I think what it comes down to is that you build a lot of templates for different kind of cases, use cases.
Yeah.
And that duplicates code, yeah, quite a bit. So when you want to migrate a site from a classic theme to a block theme, I mean, there is no one-click conversion. But what would you think a site editor should do? So I had the same conversation with Sarah 2 weeks ago. And because I'm doing that for the Gutenberg Times and I'm trying to find a good approach that other people could follow. So let me tell you what I do. So I installed the health and troubleshooting plugin on my live site and then switched off all the other themes and switched on the themes that I wanted to use. So I was testing the 2024 and I was testing Frost and some other of the block theme, some of them, one or two of them from Anders Noren or Ellen Bauer, and then see how my site changes with the new block theme. And then I made notes what needs to be changed. So this archive page needs to change and that needs to change. And here the block don't, the biggest hurdle was that my featured image on the block loop on the archive page is a landscape. And most of the themes that I tested, the featured image was portrait format. So that's kind of thing. But that's, I think, not a big, that's an easy fix. Yeah. You can change the template, you change the aspect ratio, and you're done with it. Yeah. And then, so I have my notes, I have my scope of the changes that I need to make. And then I'll create a staging site, install the create block theme plugin, and then make my changes there. And then I can export that theme and import it into my live theme. Is that a good process or as good as any?
I do think it's as good as any right now, but it really does sound way too complicated for the, how do I say that, average user. And it's difficult. How are we going to help them? How are we going to make it easier? But it also depends, it all depends on how complex your existing theme and your existing site is. But yeah, start with pen and paper, like really write down. These are the must-haves. And do spring cleaning. If there are things that you don't need, remove them. And then you won't have the problem of trying to recreate at least those parts. Yeah, I mean, if you're switching to a completely new theme, of course, there are going to be a lot of things that don't match your current website. So they're definitely going to be tweaking. And create a block theme is a great tool because, yes, you can activate any block theme and edit that and export it as your own. So, of course, you're not limited to using the default themes. If there is a block theme that you find that matches what you want closer, pick any of them. What you want to look at, though, is the last updated date. You don't want to pick a block theme that was updated in 2020 or
Oh
2022. I mean,
yeah.
you want one that is,
Good reminder.
continuously developed and supported.
Good reminder. Yeah. So it should be 2023 or something like that. Yeah. And not the default theme, but the update should be at least in 2023, if not in the last 3 months or so. Yeah,
And
that's definitely a good point.
so if you're picking from WordPress.org, look at the reviews of this theme. Look at the support form. Is the developer, responsive, or maybe they are directing you to a different support form where they're active? That's also absolutely fine. But just look to see that there is someone who's able to help you if you run into bugs or if you're blocked somewhere.
Well, I have most of the time when I switched themes before with classic theme to classic theme, there were always tweaks. Yeah, there was no, one fit kind of one switch and everything was good. Yeah, there was always a little bit CSS kind of change here and template missing here and the conditional not working right. So I think that's pretty much to expect when you switch themes, and normally you don't. Yeah, it's the third switch in 5 years for for the site. So I think it's pretty much on par with that. And I'm also late, but I also want to do some experimentation with the new features that are there, like that are coming out, like the interactivity API and the block hooks and that kind of things. And it was really hard to do this without the block theme. So because they're all built for block themes and the latest, yeah. So that's why I'm switching over on the site. So that's one thing, the site migration kind of, but you come from the classic theme building. You've been a theme team rep and for many, many years and have been. So if you are a theme builder and you want to create a block theme, what are the hurdles to overcome? Are there any blockers, pun intended, especially mental blockers? Are there something that is something people need to kind of get on with it, kind of, so to speak.
Yes, mental blocker absolutely are bigger than perhaps the code challenges, unless you're building something very, very highly custom and specialized. So, as a coder, if you really enjoy coding, you might love PHP. And then, suddenly, if you're not working with a designer, of course, because we have two different, of course, more than two different ways to do this. But if you're on your own, and then suddenly switching from, writing your templates in your code editor, and you have to go to this visual interface, you really need to learn how to maximize the blocks. You do need to learn how to sketch, draft the layout in the editor. And then you will go and make your tweaks once you have exported your base layouts for one template or 10. Or maybe four is more realistic. When you have four templates, you have, what font sizes, what colors, what spacing you're using. Then you go and tweak the details in your exported TeamJSON file and the code, you tweak the code in your templates. But you still have that element where you need to go to the visual interface and actually move things around, change the, alignment, etc. And it's a big change, of course.
But it's also lowering the barrier for those who don't know how to code to kind of create their own themes. So I think it's a good balance to get more people involved in creativity and creating themes and do some designs. And a lot of designers are actually not coders per se. Yeah, and they might. I think what's still missing, going back to the earlier question, is actually a user interface for editing the theme JSON file. Yeah, I know it's all in the database and you can export it, but you still have to fiddle with that long, and the theme JSON files, the more features come in, the longer it's going to become. Yeah, and the more unwieldy it comes. And
Oh, yes.
yeah, there are VS Code extensions that help with that, but yeah, I think you need to really squint quite a bit when you read the code to get into the right
I
settings
absolutely
and all that.
agree. So, not all the settings in TeamJSON actually have an interface. And it probably shouldn't be exposed to all users. And that's, where do we draw the line? Do we have like, do we really add an advanced view to the site editor, or does it need to be in a plugin? And several people, of course, have tried to build this plugin because we do need it and have not succeeded or have needed to stop halfway because, well, I can't really tell why. Well,
One
because it's
reason is
just not
probably, yeah.
easy. The base code in Gutenberg, it just doesn't make it easy to do that kind of option page. Or at least not right now.
I can also see that it's really taxing to build a feature for something that's so in active development and has updates every 2 weeks, yeah, that to
Oh,
keep,
yes.
yeah, keep up with it, especially when you have a product, yeah. So I can see that the initial momentum getting this, oh, this is a great idea and let's build it, kind of weans away when after a year or two you still have to go in every month and update this thing because there's
Yeah.
new features or things have changed, yeah. So yeah, so well, I think a great way to talk about block themes, and yeah, thank you for that. And are you planning to work further on the fullsiteediting.com, or do you think that the new block handbook has been overhauled enough to kind of say, oh yeah, now documentation. I think there was a reason why you created that, because there was no documentation and there was a lot of need for explaining the concepts and all. But the new developer theme handbook has been overhauled in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. Do you think that the documentation is up to par now?
Yes. So Justin Tadlock, who did most of the work on the handbook, has been amazing. The handbook has been greatly updated, and fullsortededitone.com has not, because I have not had the time. And it's a bit of a stressor, because I do want to keep it up to date. I want to write about what I'm exploring, what I'm finding, what problems I'm running into, and of course, maybe some more code examples. It's difficult for me to prioritize
Oh, I
what
can
to
imagine,
work on.
yeah.
So
So
there's
what
room for both.
I
So on
Absolutely.
fullsortededitone.com, of course, I can express opinions in a whole different way that you can't do in a handbook, which needs to be very strict and acts, even though with a friendly
Neutral.
language. Yeah. I'm still a little bit apprehensive about how we're going to keep it up to date. Because we still so even if we only have now 3 releases per year. That goes into WordPress core, it's still a lot to keep up with.
You need more volunteers.
Yes.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to contribute to documentation specifically for the theme handbook, what would be the steps apart from having a Slack account and having a WP.org account and a GitHub account?
The easiest way is to, first of all, reach out in the theme review Slack channel from your account, and we can guide you a little bit more from there. So the team handbook is currently written in WordPress on the website. So the content is not managed right now on GitHub. It's not Markdown files. It's actually WordPress, it's a poster page, custom post type.
Oh, that
And there
lowers a lot
are
of barriers, actually.
but all the issues, when we see that the page needs to be updated, we add our issues to the documentation team's issue tracker on GitHub.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So if you're on the documentation team, you already know how the process works. So, yeah, that is really good.
Yes.
So, yeah, dear listeners, if you have an aptitude for technical writing, your English is well enough. So Carolina as a non-native speaker and I as a non-native speaker can read it. You're in it. You can join the team. Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll have some great people there that help you. I know that Justin Tadlock does quite some onboarding, and he's happy to help anybody also with writing and do some copy editing. So you don't have to be scared just because you're not a native English speaker to do that. All right. So this was all about block themes, and I'm really glad that we talked about some of the issues there. So let's get on with the show. We sometimes also answer some questions that we get either from Twitter or listener question and so. And this question came through Twitter, and that is how to use a classic menu in the navigation of a block theme. And it's very hard to find, but when you and so I put it a little tutorial together, a quick tip, I call it, because it's less than 100 words or so on how to use it. It's mainly the screenshot and where to find things, a little video. So you need to grab the header in the site editor, and then the menu that is there from your theme. And then there is on the right-hand side this toolbar, or the sidebar where the block settings are normally, and there's one three-dot menu where the switcher, where you can see all the classic menus listed that you had previously on your site. And then you select it, and it will magically appear in the navigation block. So I think you don't have to recreate all the classic menus that you had before when you switch it. That is definitely a hidden gem. I don't know if you can surface it even better. We need to kind of talk to design about that, but that's where you find it, and it's your secret superpower to know where it is now. Yeah. Normally, I think if I understood this correctly, and Carolina, you help me out. When you only have one menu, the block theme magically adds it. the navigation block adds, if and the navigation block is in the template, it will be added to the navigation block as a default. But if you have more than one classic menu, it doesn't know which one to pick. So it kind of makes it up as it go along. I think when you switch from 2020 to 2024, it kind of takes the social menu, which is kind of weird, but but that's kind of the randomness of this feature. But it also points you right there. This is something to fix.
Yeah, at
Which is like,
least that problem is quite obvious because it's not the correct content inside a block.
So that, dear listeners, that was our quick tip of the week. We also have some upcoming events that are on the list that happen in all kind of different places. So first of all, on February 7th at 12 noon UTC, the medium component maintainers come together in a meeting to discuss phase three media items that could be ahead of development of phase three. And Anthony Burchell, who is one of the maintainers, invites you to be part of it. And if you haven't contributed to any code yet in the recent years, that is definitely a good place to see what work needs to be done and how it's organized. Then February 8th, a day later, there will be a hallway hangout to discuss intrinsic design and how to use it in a real life projects with the block editor and the block themes. And we will have some interesting people there. Fabian Key is going to be there, Tammy Lister, Justin Tadlock. They all are kind of proponent of the intrinsic design. Justin Tadlock wrote a nice introduction to that on the developer blog a few months ago. But it's definitely, but Fabian and Tammy, they have also some ideas of what's still missing, what you can't do with intrinsic design, what you still would need to do with your own CSS and some conditional coding and templates to get this going. And they bring some solution with them. Then not so far out, January 25th at 15:30 or 3:30 UTC, there's a developer live stream reviewing Gutenberg 17.5 by Ryan Welcher. He does it on Twitch. It's not a scripted show. It's he just kind of dives in into a topic and or multiple topics and kind of shows some code. If you haven't followed Ryan on the Twitch stream, you can also follow him on YouTube, and he has this fabulous series of the block development cookbook. Every show is kind of a little recipe on how to do things with a block editor development. And then also next week is the extensibility issue triage meeting on January 23rd at noon UTC. There's a project board with increasing Gutenberg extensibility, and we go over some of the columns there and see if we can move some of the issues or PRs forward to be slated for some of the major releases this year. So it's going to be a real good. Yeah, there's some agency developers in there. We also have joined by Gutenberg developers. So this is a chat meeting. It's not a video meeting or something like that. So Carolina, do you know of any events that listeners we could let them know about?
There's rumors that there might be an upcoming hallway hangout about migrating from classic themes to block themes, but it's not scheduled yet. But if you have the chance, definitely join one of these that we just spoke about.
Yeah, and speaking of events, there's always in the theme review channel, there's a theme meeting. When do they happen?
It's every other Tuesday. I'm sorry, I believe it's at 4 o'clock UTC. I'm usually unable to attend because of the timing, so I don't have the exact time.
Oh, okay. Well, we can look it up. Tuesday. Test theme, JavaScript theme, bi-weekly, 4 p.m. Yes, 4 p.m. UTC. And the next one is, it's on the 23rd. So next week, Tuesday, is the fourth Thursday, Tuesday. So it's on the second and the fourth Tuesday, 4 p.m. UTC. And so if you want to be part of the theme development or theme review documentation team, you can join there and meet all the people there. Yeah.
Yeah. So during these meetings, we usually recap, how many new themes went live this week. For example, we also, repeatedly bring up things like, Are the requirements still correct? We need to update them. What are we going to do about, React-based theme settings pages, onboarding of users when we have a block theme and we need, an easier way for them to select the front page. So both about theme reviews, but also really wide topics. But there are agendas posted that you can read, of course, and also propose topics too.
Yeah, and if you want to follow up on some of them, the summaries are posted on the Make Theme blog as well. So, yeah, cool. Those are the events and meetings. There's under make.wordpress.org/meetings a calendar of all the team's meetings, not only the theme team, but all the teams. So it gets a little bit overwhelming, and you shouldn't join every channel on WP Slack, but pick the team that you are involved in or you want to be involved in. You can definitely be in a meeting every day of the week.
Oh yes, there are often meetings that collide as well if if you're interested in several topics.
Yeah. And sometimes there are Slack meetings, so you can actually switch between the meetings and not miss a beat because people need to type things. So. Speaking of extensibility, Fabian Kagi from TenUp and also has been a guest on the show quite often. He started a conversation about extensibility for the new admin views. And we at Binguela posted a great response on how extensibility is actually approached and what they are planning once they have the APIs all finalized. And they want to create APIs for registering new fields, new layouts, new field types. I like the new layouts, yeah, the grid layout and the preview layouts and all that. Also defining default views and fields and allowing third-party developers to have their own views for their pages. What they haven't yet put in there, and they want to still do this before any extensibility is kind of considered, is inline editing and editing the fields and views in the UI. So I have not seen any design views for those interfaces yet. So that might still be a little bit off. But I'll share the issue and the comment in the show notes, of course, like everything else that we talked about. But Riad also summarizes the approach that they build the APIs, then the UIs, and then if it all works together and the APIs are stable, then open that up to third-party developers to use in plugins and themes. But he also has a suggestion on how third-party developers can start experimenting with it, and that is using the WordPress DataViews NPM package and start testing those. Documentation is available on the package's README file, so and you definitely can connect with Riad if you have any questions or something like that. But I think it's time to start looking at that if you're a plugin developer or a theme developer, just to make sure that the mindset, you start getting the mindset and you see what the users are going to see. Yeah, any comments?
So glad that this question was asked and highlighted, and I'm happy with the answer. And as always, when this feature is like, we want it now, we can't have it yet. And we, third party, extenders, plugin developers, we really do need to help testing. Again, we need to be very clear in our feedback of what we need, because we have to leave that feedback when there is still a chance to make changes.
Yeah.
If something is not what we expect, the earlier the feedback, the better, easier it is to respond to and address. I also do like part of the data views. I need to use it more to really get used to it. I have problems with the very, very narrow list. So on the left side, you have the like a brief description, the name of your, for example, your template or your post. This part is very narrow, but I do like that you can switch views. So you can choose if you want a list, grid, or a table. And there are so many more things that you can customize with filters already. So that I really like that.
Yeah, also like the grid layout for patterns in the pattern data views, or for it would be really beautiful for the media library to have a grid layout like it is now, and even posts. Yeah, if you want the featured image, and you don't need a list, but you want also kind of see how the which have featured some images and which don't. So yeah, which brings us to the next topic that we have here. That is early opportunities for testing. Thank you for bringing that up. Test, test, test.
Yes.
So Anne McCarthy has published a post called Early Opportunities to Test WordPress 6.5 ahead of beta 6.5 that is kind of scheduled for February 13th. These are early opportunities to feedback and testing it for your own sake. It's only a selection of features in that post, but it's very good in the instructions of what you can do and what you should test. So a part of the burden for testing is you have to come up with what is it that I actually want to do? Yeah, kind of have
yes.
those decisions and make a list of it. And Anne McCarthy has done that particular work for you and shows you how to test the data views, also the pattern overrides, and the font library, of course, that has been in the works for quite a bit, and the robust revisions. So for templates and styles, you now can have, in 6.4, we already have revisions, but now those are actually getting to the next step and being really cool.
The revisions is a really nice update.
Yeah.
I also hope that you can do something to improve the post or block editor revisions, which are not as easy to use
yeah.
as the style revisions. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, and in that post, you also find ways on how to set up test websites for that. I also will share a link to the playground with the Gutenberg Nightly that actually, at least for the data views, because you need to enable the experiments to do that for the data views as well as for the pattern overrides. So
yes.
We have some playground instances, not have some, but we build the blueprints for those so you can call them up in WordPress Playground, which is a nice browser-based WordPress instance, yeah. It's really amazing how that would work, yeah, for someone who has done work with so many servers. But that's a good, it's a long post, but it has all the details that you need for each feature. It's divided up into explaining the feature, prerequisites, and then test instructions and what you could do with it. Feedback, you could leave it on the post if you have some feedback or if something is not working, or you could do that as a bug report on the GitHub repository or just post it into the co-editor channel and we'll figure out which part of your experience is actually the bug report or a feature request or something like that. So
yeah.
It's not always easy to get it right for a GitHub issue, but there are people here to help you, definitely. Have you tested any of those features or looked at those? Apart from the revisions you said you like.
No, I have tested them on my own. I haven't followed, I haven't read the full testing instructions. I have some feedback that I need to add, document and write down. Yes, and perhaps why not start working on fixing it as well. So I need to do that, maybe yeah. next week.
Yeah, do you have something else that we could talk about in community contributions?
We spoke a little bit about how to, you know, find the team's team and how to help with the handbook or just join the meetings. But of course, there are so many teams that you can contribute to. And the application for the contributor mentorship program has opened. So this is for the first quarter 2024. It is open for both mentors and mentees. So if you're an experienced WordPress, well, actually user, you don't even have to be a developer. If you're an experienced WordPress user, contributor, you can apply as a mentor. To be a mentee, you do not have to have any previous experience, just be engaged and will want to join. So the mentorship program is a one-on-one mentorship or a group mentorship, which is new. So the group mentorship is new. You can actually apply to work on a specific project together with others, with your mentor, which is a really interesting, nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have meet more people and collaborate, which is a really nice opportunity.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Is there a deadline on it?
The application deadline is February 7, and you can find the application by going to make.wordpress.org /community, and it will be one of the pinned articles
Oh,
on the
cool.
top of that page.
And of course, we're going to share the link to it in the show notes of this episode. Yeah, that is a great new program for getting more contributors. It's also meant to create contributor leadership as well, and as also to have more sustained contribution. We have in many teams the problem that there are these flyby contributors, yeah, and sometimes you need continued contributions to make a team work. And we need both, but I think it's harder for contributors to have an ongoing relationship with a team, especially when they're not sponsored in their work life or their life. Now, if you have a family, your free time is all but WordPress.
Yeah.
If you work as a freelance or in an agency, the workload can be up and down, and sometimes you don't have 2 months in a row where you can contribute. So yeah, this mentorship group is also meant for those who do feel they can do ongoing contributions.
Yeah.
All right. I think we come to the now at the stage where we talk about what's released, and we have to talk about three releases. One is the release squad for WordPress 6.5 has been announced, and release lead is again Matt Mullerweg. Release coordinators Akshava Rane, Hector Prieto, and Mary Baum. And core tech leads are David Baumwald and Pascal Birchler. And editor tech leads are David Smith and Riad Benguela. But there are in total 27 contributors on the list of release leads. And so there's also, yeah, editor triage and design and all that. Carolina, you are also part of the release squad in 6.5. Thank you for raising your hand. And you are named as the default themes lead. That seems to be a new role on the release squad. What does that include for a release that doesn't have a default theme?
It means that you are continuing doing what a bundled theme component maintainer does. It is triaging track tickets, looking at new reported issues. But the part that I wanted to focus on that we haven't really done before is that we need to know what the new features are in the editor, mostly, that can affect our themes.
When you say our themes, you mean previous default
I
themes?
I mean the default themes. Are there new features that should be implemented, doesn't have to be implemented, or shouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
We have to make decisions about this, and then we have to start looking at the code. Can we solve this? Do we need to fix CSS conflicts? We have to test on multiple WordPress versions to see that we're not causing problems. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I really like that role, but it takes a lot of work because how many default themes are there? 15 or so?
There are. So I'm hoping that we are going to focus on the ones that are actually bundled when you install WordPress.
Okay. Yeah.
Not the ones that you download, at least not in this round. We haven't brought this up, but there is a proposal to have a default theme task force. This was proposed in December, and you can volunteer for it. We're still waiting for more information, but the idea is that we do need more contributors to help triage all of the open issues. And triaging issues means that we read these issues and confirm, is this actually a bundle theme issue, or does it belong to a different component? For example, if the reported issue is a problem with a block, it probably needs to be moved to the Gutenberg GitHub repository and solved there, because it affects more than the bundled themes. It affects all themes. So that's one of the kind of sorting that this group would need to do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a brilliant idea, especially because it's an early warning for changes in the block editor or in block themes, yeah, that might trickle down to classic themes and changes how CSS behavior, or yeah, there's one discussion right now about the specificity of elements and block themes, and does that affect, if it's changed, what's the trade-off? Is it makes it the work that it would cause to update existing themes, but moving forward lessens the work. So I think with your role in there, you definitely can chime in early warning and also say, okay, well, this is something we need to have in the developer notes, because theme developers will have to take a look at that also for their theme. So this was kind of missing. It's the first release that I won't be part of since 6.0, was my first release that I was part of on documentation, 6.0 to 6.4, all five releases. I was part of documentation or editor triage, and it was really interesting to see how documentation actually surfaces there. That early warning part could have saved some of the hard work that was done retroactively when there was either a new node there or even a new minor version needed to be cut very early after the release. Yeah, so to iterate on the release schedule, I think we talked about it earlier, but you can always look it up. About beta 1 is scheduled for February 13th, 25 days left. So if you want to contribute or you have some features that need to be moved forward, get on it. There are two more Gutenberg plugins, 17.6 and 17.7, with features that will go into 6.5. Afterwards, it's just bug fixing or maybe a little bit enhancement. And then release candidate 1, and with it, field guide and dev notes deadline is March 5th. And that's just before WordCamp Asia. So we all go release 6.5 and then head out to Taipei, because WordCamp Asia starts at March 7th. The final release is on March 26, 2024. It sounds all so far away, but it's really not a whole lot of time anymore to kind of see
No.
what's getting in there. So looking at the hallway hangout where contributors kind of walk through all the features might be a good idea to just get up to par with it. Before we get 6.5, we get a minor release, 6.4.3. Aaron Jorban is the release lead for that, and he announced the schedule for this minor release for January 24th. 1700 UTC is the release party scheduled. And I'll share the announcement post in the show notes, where he also lists the tickets that are the bug fixes that are solved for this minor release. It's also a maintenance release, so it's automatically updated. So watch out next week. And that brings us to Gutenberg 17.5, the latest Gutenberg release. And there's not a whole lot of in there, but there are big topics in there, but not many specific things. So continued work on the editor unification, meaning that the site editor and the post editor have the same features, the same panels, the same preferences, and can be reused. And so developers as well as users don't have to learn two interfaces for almost the same thing.
Yes, there's some really nice quality of life changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, that's related to the history of how Gutenberg progressed. The post editor is from the phase one, and the site editor is from phase two, and now they're making them being the same. Especially the unified distraction-free preferences. I'm really glad that it comes to the site editor now. Also, Spotlight mode and the show program breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs. Yeah, there's some German kind of going in there. Sometimes I have that. It wasn't as prominent when I was living in the United States because I was talking English all day long. But now with the German interacting with Germans, it's sometimes my English kind of sucks.
It happens.
Yeah. As long as you all still understand me, dear listeners, I'm not stopping with these episodes with Gutenberg Changelog. There are some component updates and default library updates that are going into 6.5 to get the final touches done. They had to refactor some of the REST API interactions for the font library, but that is well on the way. For the editor or the block library, we have two changes that I want to point out. One is that there is in the post featured image block, there is now an attribute that you can set to use the first image that's in post as a featured image. I think that's a great enhancement. That's a feature that was missing from the classic editor or from some of the themes because, yeah, I was really missing that. Oh, I have pictures in there, so use one of those. Yeah, and sometimes that would work and sometimes it wouldn't work. But now having that as an attribute in the block is really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't see, is there a user interface for that or is it just for the template?
As far as I know, it's just for, well, developers or advanced users without the user interface.
Okay. And then the second one is that the gallery block, now you can just do a random setting, order setting for the pictures in the gallery. So you don't have to fiddle around with the order and moving around. And yeah, just it's a toggle switch in the site editor, in the block editor sidebar, where you can have just switch it on and off and it orders the picture at random. Pretty cool. It definitely streamlines your production time of things. And you don't have to spend an hour forming an opinion what order you want and then executing on that opinion. Yeah, if you don't have an opinion, that's fine. Is there anything in there that you want to point out, Carolina?
In the update or in the
In the
block
change log.
library,
In the change log.
there are many small improvements. We have some changes for the pattern overrides, which is the partially synced pattern with a new name.
Naming is like it's so hard.
It is
Oh
so
my
hard.
God, yeah.
We'll see. Eventually, we will see where it actually lands when we have to write the documentation.
And then once the documentation is written, it's kind of set in stone because nobody knows when you rename things. There are so many people out there who still talk about full site editing in new posts in 2024. So not on the
Yeah.
WordPress site, but yeah, people here write tutorials and all that. Yeah, the
Yeah.
pattern overrides, it's going to be has a lot of expectations. And I think the 6.5 first iteration will be very limited in feature set. I think that for paragraphs, for heading, and for images,
Yeah.
yeah, I think they
It
will
needs
allow
to be
it.
limited because, well, we need more time, but also it just makes it easier to test and to receive feedback for it, and not as overwhelming, hopefully, for users to actually learn.
Yeah, good points. Good points. I like it. Yeah. And of course, the data views, there are a lot of people working on the data views, and it's still under experimental flag, but it's coming a long way. It really has some great attention right now. You can use it on the, once the feature is enabled in the experiments, you can use it on the patterns page, on the pages page. It's already by default available for templates.
Yes.
And template parts is still, I think template parts is still under the experimental flag, but those things will all come out of experiments hopefully very soon. So we can all
Yeah.
test
It's
every
moving very fast.
fast. Yeah,
It
when you
is still unclear what will actually be in 6.5, but
yeah,
we'll see.
I think every release in the last, so 16 point. This is 17.5. So 17.3, I think, had the first data view, so 17.2 even, yeah. And every release had over 20 PRs kind of going in into that feature. So it's really moving fast and it's beautiful. Yeah, I really like it. There's quite some excitement out there in the community as well for those who have looked at it. Yeah. Yeah, and if you have an opinion, dear listeners, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So there's the two items in the documentation section. There's a lot of changes in documentation, but two I want to point out because it's for beginners on the block development. There's a new section in the quick starter guide. If you haven't seen the quick start guide for block development, I only use that to talk about other things. So The quick start guide for block development walks you through a tutorial on creating a block for copyright, dynamic copyright year on your website, and use that block. And there was a developer hour just last week, and the recording is up on YouTube, where Nick Diego and Ryan Welsher go through that tutorial and show how this all meant to be. It's one thing to read a tutorial and try to follow along yourself, then to watch somebody else go through a tutorial and then follow along. It's a much richer experience. So,
Yeah.
and the documentation changes here are all about the local development environment. What are the tools that you can use for local development on your machine? And one of them is WP-Inf, which is the built-in WordPress development based on Docker. There are actually, I don't know if you use them already, efforts to make the WordPress playground a local development. You don't need local development. You can use the WordPress playground for development and have code editor in there. So I've seen some great mockups from that.
I have not tried it yet. It's on my very long to-do list because I'm absolutely curious about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So, but the WP-Inf script also let you can call it together with the create block scaffolding, and you have almost instantaneous a good block development environment set up. There were some changes to block JSON as well as theme JSON documentation, and yeah, that's pretty much what I wanted to point out. Yeah, code quality is all very technical, and all the efforts to write all the end-to-end tests in Playwright, migrating fast, and the build tools have been updated to the latest things. All right. Oh, here it was. Yes. So that was the changelog for 17.5. It was not a whole lot of in there for a WordPress user. It's more like the future of things. It's really
Yeah.
cool. Yeah. But not for immediate use. But sometimes you have these releases where there's some foundation work being done.
The releases are some frequency, yes. There sometimes there will be these kind of releases with less new ready features and more work on what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So, speaking of what's coming, there is this active discussion. I mentioned it before, there is an effort or a PR that to reduce the specificity on the global styles CNS by, I think it was Isabel Bryson, Telemachines. Yes, yeah, she's working on that quite a bit. And there is a call for testing, especially for classic themes, to see how impact that will have on your custom CSS or even on block themes, yeah, because the high specificity kind of makes you create workarounds on all the different places, and
Oh,
if it's
yes.
reduced, yeah, you're losing your targets. So how much work would it take? And yeah, I'll share the related ticket in the show notes, but do you have any did you kind of take a look at that?
I've read it. I have planned, set time away in my calendar to do some testing. And this is where it would really be help to know what specifically to test for. Like have something to help us get started because it's a bit wide right now. It's just, test if your CSS is still correct. This is also where tool like visual regression testing would have
Would help.
really helped. But in the next couple of days, of course, we're going to have some a little bit more testing done. We're going to have some more comments on these issues and tickets and narrow it down a little bit so that we can, have testing instructions and test results presented there.
Yeah, and Aaron Robichaud, who's also working on those, he did some explorations on the current approach to kind of see. I think his summary also helps with figuring out as a theme developer, okay, where do I need to look in my theme to test this right? So,
That sounds good.
yeah, I'll share both of them in the show notes of the show, and it seems that we are at the end of our show. Carolina, this you made it.
We made it. Thank you.
We made it. Yes, it's an awesome show. We have some great discussions on block development and block themes and contributions and a call for contributors. So it's a full-rounded show. Is there anything, Carolina, that you want people to know that you didn't get to mention before while you have an audience and think about it? And you could also tell me where people that want to connect with you, where they find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Carolina Poena. You can message me there. If you go to foresightending.com, in the footer is also actually a link to a Slack channel that you can join if you like.
Okay.
And on the WordPress Slack, my nickname is Poena. Yeah, that's the easiest way to reach me.
All right. All right.
I did get to mention everything, a little bit about what to think about when you're switching your website to a block theme, or how to, what we need help with in the, testing the upcoming release, and what we need help with for the bundled themes, that we need more contributors and we need more testing.
All right, then, before we end the show, remind you there's this event, these events out there. February 7th, that's phase three, Media Library. February 8th is the Intrinsic Design Hallway Hangout. There will be a developer hours in February. I don't have a date yet, but kind of keep up on the meetup. Extensibility issues triage meeting is January 23rd. And then there is the live stream on Twitch about reviewing Gutenberg 17.5. And I'm going to watch it and see what Ryan Welcher is digging up from this change log that we might have missed. And so if you have dear listeners, thank you all for listening again. And if you have any news or questions or suggestions, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And again, thank you, Carolina Niemark, for being on the show and sharing all your wisdom here. And thanks for listening. And goodbye for me.
Bye.
Bye.